If you would, turn with me to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And again, happy Mother's Day to all our ladies. And we're going to highlight a mother here in a moment that is going to demonstrate something for us in regard to the power of words that we've been looking into. Luke chapter 1. And have you ever had a moment that you walk into a scenario in which you feel incredibly confident? You feel good, you feel fine, you don't have any doubt, no insecurities, you just feel great, and you feel like you're able, and you feel good. Ever have times where you feel completely the opposite? You feel inward, insecure, and anxious, and uncomfortable, and you don't feel like you can accomplish anything, and you're kind of drawn within yourself. Ever have times where those experiences were relatively close to each other, where you felt like you were soaring one week, and the next week, everything turns around? Have you ever felt like that from one day to the next? Or maybe even sometimes in the same gathering, you go somewhere and you feel on top of the world, and then in 5 minutes, someone says something or doesn't respond or looks at you a certain way, and your heart just plunges into the depths of despair, and you feel like you can't do anything. You feel like running and hiding in a cave. And then 5 minutes later, someone says something to you that reverses it all again, and you feel on top of the world. Do you ever feel like you're like a roller coaster when it comes to your confidence and stability? That it just never stays constant or the same. It's unstable. And this morning, God wants to help us learn how to be stable. To have a faith in Him, an assurance in Him, a confidence in Him, that all the circumstances that change around us do not change that one constant that I feel fine because I know who I am in Christ. Don't you want to have that? The Lord wants to show us how to be in that place. And the way it's found is by a secret weapon that we're going to see that Mary had in her life. And in our journey so far, we've been learning the power of words. That our mouths does things. It has an impact. It gets us into trouble. How many of us have been in trouble by things we've said? Gets us into trouble. It brings life. There is life and death, Proverbs says, in the power of the tongue. And though we've learned different things, we've learned how to motivate ourselves by understanding we're going to be judged by every single thing that we say. And that's a sobering thought. We've learned that when we say things, it impacts people. Either for the good or for the bad, it impacts people and impacts our lives when we speak. It also reveals things. When you say stuff, you might not be saying it directly, but people are picking up on what's going on in here and in here when we're speaking. The more we realize how revealing our words are, the more we're putting the brakes on and we're starting to think through that. And we gain motivation to guard our mouths by the understanding of that. We've learned how to be armed with the resources God has given us. A healthy, strong relationship with Jesus Christ is going to give us that fuel to do this, as well as knowing the red flags that are there that tell you something needs to be worked on, something's wrong, and we know those things, we get armed and equipped. We also have learned how to add value to our words, to not let them just be meaningless and useless, but to have weight to them, good weight to them. We've also learned how to speak in a way that our goal is to influence people in the right way. And if you've missed any of those messages, you can go to our website, bethelpgh.org, under the Listen tab. You can listen to them or listen to them again to catch up. But some of us might have learned those lessons, and yet the stuff still keeps flying out of our mouths. We still can't seem to stop ourselves from speaking the things that are death instead of speaking the things that are life. And the reason why is because there is a secret weapon that Mary, the mother of Jesus, had that many of us don't have. And we're going to see a story that's going to compare and contrast Zechariah, who would become the father of John the Baptist, immediately followed by Mary, who would become the mother of Jesus. And they will each have similar components to their story, but Mary will have one extra in there that will be our secret weapon. And so if you will look with me in Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 5. It says this, "In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord, but they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years." Verse 8. "Now while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared.'" Verse 18. "And Zechariah said to the angel, 'How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years.' And the angel answered him, 'I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time.' And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them. And they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home." Verse 24. "After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, 'Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people.'" Verse 26. "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be, since I am a virgin?' Verse 35. And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God.' And Mary said, 'Behold, I am your servant. I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." Two stories, Zechariah and Mary. And Joni was teasing me earlier. I always put the bad on this side and the good on this side. And I'm not going to switch it because it'll probably mess me up. But you guys are good too, all right? But these two stories, they're smack right up against each other. And I don't believe it's coincidental. I know that there's a couple of goals in this. One is the relationship between John the Baptist and Jesus and how close that relationship was. But I believe also it was the significance of the comparison between the two reactions. They both experienced very similar things. And here's what they walked through. There were five components that were the same between both stories. The first component is this, that they had a calling of God that something was going to happen within their lives of significance, and it happened because of their character. It says not just of Mary, but it says of Zechariah that he was a man who had very good character, that he was a servant of God, that he sought the Lord, that he wanted the things that God wanted. He had good character. And sometimes in life, we go after opportunities and we try to make stuff happen and they fall by the wayside and they don't happen because we are wrong in what we're pursuing. God doesn't want us to pursue opportunities. He wants us to pursue character. And Zechariah and Mary were pursuing a right heart before God. And because of that, Zechariah gets called upon to become the father of John the Baptist. And Mary gets called upon to be the mother of our Lord because of a right character. If you want to find significance, if you want to make impact in this world, it starts with having good character. And that's the first component of their story. The second component is that they had an obstacle. Zechariah and Elizabeth were too old. They were past, well past the age of childbearing. This was impossible. They were not capable of conceiving children. And any of you 60 or above want to say you would volunteer to conceive today? All right, some of you would. All right. So we're going to start fasting and praying. But biologically was not going to happen. There was an obstacle there. Biologically, they were not going to be able to have children. They were too far past the age. Mary had perhaps the greater obstacle. She had no relation physically with a man. She was a virgin. How can this be? Now, this is past the days of, or before the days of artificial insemination and all that stuff. They didn't have test tube babies and such back then. So there was no other way. And she had an obstacle. God was calling her to be the mother of the Savior, and yet there was an impossibility to that. And sometimes God calls us to do things, and we see the impossibility of it. For example, controlling our mouths. We see how, I don't know if I can do this. And we know all the different scenarios in our lives that tell us that we don't have the capacity to do this. And yet God is calling us to do something that has a very difficult obstacle in its way. And too many of us, sometimes we give up on the things God is calling us to do because it gets hard, because it gets difficult. And God calls us to do hard things, challenging things, not because it'll be an easy road, but because He is calling us to do His will. And Mary and Zechariah were open to and listening to, God's calling me to do this, but there's a huge obstacle in the way. And then they each have a spiritual encounter. Did you notice they each have a visit from the same angel? It was Gabriel that visits both of them. And there is a difference, though, in their spiritual encounter as far as what was happening leading up to it. Because Zechariah is a priest, and he had the upbringing of a priest. He had the training of a priest. He also had the honor of being in that office and the favor of the people and the respect of the people. And he was in a moment where he was going into the temple, the holy place. He was in the presence of God. He was offering a sacrifice. He was doing something that was very spiritual. And then did you catch that there were a bunch of people outside praying for what was going on inside? And he had this huge prayer support. So he had a lot of this intense spiritual moment. Mary, on the other hand, was just doing her normal daily activities. She didn't have the upbringing of a priest. She didn't have that office position. She didn't have a band of people outside praying for her. She wasn't in this intense spiritual moment. And yet she encounters an angel who says, "This is God's will for your life." And sometimes we think that we have to be in a church building to hear from God. Sometimes we think that we have to be in the midst of this intense worship service to hear from God. And is it important to be in those places? Absolutely. But you can hear from God. And notice that the person who had the highest spiritual moment was the one who failed in his response to God. The one who was just going about her normal day was the one who responded correctly to God. And we see the response. Did you see the difference in the response? Though it sounds somewhat similar, because Zechariah's response was, how will I know that this will be? And Mary responds, how can this be? And the angel points out for us that there was a lack of faith in Zechariah, because he was saying, and he was even expressing the obstacle, I'm old, my wife is old, and husbands, don't say that ever. just seeing if you're awake. We're old, we can't have children. How is this going to, this can't happen. He was expressing doubt. Mary, did you notice she says this will happen? How can this happen? How is it going to take place? She wasn't asking in disbelief. She was asking in perplexity. In, okay, I believe you. This is going to happen, but I don't know how, but I believe you. And the angel doesn't correct her because she's not responding in disbelief. And so they each have a response. Then the fifth component is the result of their response. Zechariah, unable to speak for a period of time. Now that solves our problem of the power of the words right away, doesn't it? He could not speak for a season, and Mary's response was this glorious experience that she was about to encounter and become most blessed among women because she responded with faith. Both stories, very similar components, the variables in the midst of them. But there was one extra component that was in Mary's story that wasn't in Zechariah's. And it's in her additional response that she has at the end of the text we read. Luke chapter 1, verse 38. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." It's not just about our words that we say. It's also about the words he's saying to us. And she says, "I am your servant. Be it unto me according to your word." You know what she was saying? Whatever this means, God, whatever risk it involves, whatever good or bad thing comes of this, no matter how difficult this is, no matter what the obstacles are, God, if you are calling me to do this, then I surrender to this. And the problem is the reason why many of us struggle not only with the words, but struggle with surrendering to God's will and calling in any other facet. And the reason why we struggle with the shakiness of our confidence and assurance in God is because we don't have a sure foundation in this commitment to the Lord that whatever you say, God, be it unto me according to your will or your word. And we see this walked through in a couple of these components. The first one is Zechariah. He gets all the attention. When he comes out, there's almost a party and everybody wants to know, what's going on, Zechariah? You were in there for a long time. And he starts motioning and they want to know. And there's also a part in the Bible that talks about more stories. They start to ask, well, what's his name going to be? And he has to write it on a tablet. And there's all this attention and interest in John's experience. And in Mary, it's her alone. Now, there are some other instances that come later, but even in that moment, all the attention is drawn to the child, and rightfully so. And Mary is very, very infrequently mentioned throughout Scripture. It was only the Catholic Church that would later begin to place such a major emphasis on her. But she doesn't get attention. She doesn't get acclaim. And she's fine with that. You know why? I just want to be in the center of God's will. Be it unto me according to your word. If that means people don't respond favorably to me, God, then I'll do it. If that means that somebody over there even does the wrong thing and still gets the attention and I don't, then be it unto me according to your will. I am your servant. And what happens is if in our hearts we want the attention, we want the affirmation. We said all those nice things so that you would be nice to me. They're still not nice to me. Why say all the nice things then? I said all those nice things, and Proverbs says I'll have a good life, and people will treat me well, and I said all the right things, and I don't have that. And if that's what I want, then in those moments, I'm going to turn. I'm not going to surrender to the will of God. I'm not going to keep speaking the way God has called me to speak. I'm not going to do what He calls me to do, because there's something that has a greater value to me, and I turn. And in that moment, the assurance and security of walking in God's will is gone. And the reason why we lack confidence and security is because we're not in the center of God's will. And I have to be in that place where it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what attention I do or do not get for this. Be it unto me according to your word. You called me to do it. I'm going to hold that for another time. You called me to do this, and so I'm going to do this. The other instance is in the spiritual experience or encounter that they had. You see, there was Zechariah who was in the temple. He was sacrificing. He had a group of people praying for him, and he had the right upbringing and the right training, and he had so much in his favor to be prepared for the moment that the angel comes to call him. Mary, did you know Mary is very likely, she might have even been 16 years old. She was probably very young. They married young back then. She was a young virgin. She was very inexperienced. She wasn't in the midst of some spiritual high, and she didn't have the same advantage that Zechariah had. And sometimes in our lives, we look at us and we look at others, and we like that we have justification for our actions. But I didn't have strong Christian parents like they did. I was raised in a home that didn't give me that foundation. And so there's a reason why I struggle with this. Or, God, you don't understand the challenges and difficulties and the heartaches that I've experienced and the trauma that I have experienced. And that's why I respond that way, because I'm broken and I've been damaged. And so I have a justification for why I'm acting this way. But Mary does not cling to that excuse. She doesn't say, well, I have this husband that I don't know how he's going to respond to this. She didn't respond with, but I'm not the priest, God. I don't know the scriptures backward and forward. I didn't have that training. I'm not in the temple. I don't have a group of people praying for me. And you want me to do this difficult, challenging thing? I can't do that. She didn't respond that way. She responded with, doesn't matter if I don't have experience, it doesn't matter if I have the right background, the right upbringing, it doesn't matter if I had this rosy life, it doesn't matter if all of that stuff, all of that's irrelevant to, I am your servant, be it unto me according to your word. Because you see, if that's not where our heart is, then when we find ourselves with justification for our actions, that person was mean and nasty, and this person has always been against me, and they should not have treated me that way, and they need to be put in their place. And somebody has to stand up for me, so it might as well be me. And instead of doing all that stuff, just saying, doesn't matter if I get hurt, doesn't matter if I get damaged, doesn't matter if I don't gain anything from this, if my heart is God's will, then I'll do those things. But if I want those other things, when the moment gets difficult, when the challenges and obstacles come, you won't do the right thing because you value that more than the will of God. The other item was in the consequences of the two responses. Zechariah responds with doubt, and he gets silenced for a season, and Mary responds with faith. But did you notice something that happened in Zechariah's story? He responded with doubt, but he still became the father of John the Baptist. He still got his due. He still got his calling. God still did the amazing thing. It's like he became the father of John the Baptist, and he failed. And sometimes in life, we can do the right thing, and we can get blessed by that, and we can watch someone else not do it right, and they still got blessed. And God, why did I try so hard at this when they get it too? Or worse yet, I did the right thing and I had problems and trials and tribulations because of doing the right thing. That guy over there did the wrong thing and everybody loves him for it. And we get bothered by that and troubled by that, and life is not fair. And if you value life being fair more than what God has called you to do, then when life is not fair, you know what you're going to do? You're not going to do the will of God, because you're going to chase after what's fair. And you know what Ecclesiastes calls fairness and support and a right upbringing? You know what Ecclesiastes also calls a great spiritual encounter and all that stuff, and all the acclaim of man? Vanity and fleeting and like a vapor. It constantly evades our grasp. And that's why when I go after those things, sometimes I feel great because I have the right circumstances. Sometimes I feel on top of the world because people respect me. But when they say things that show disrespect, I lose it all because my foundation is built on those things that are not stable. And you find yourself here today wrestling with a capacity to speak the way God calls you to speak, wrestling with the capacity to do God's will, wrestling with the capacity to feel stable and assured in your faith, regardless of the circumstances. And all rest in this one secret weapon is my heart in the posture that says, I am your servant, be it unto me according to your word. Will you stand with me, worship team? Will you come and prepare to lead us? When the Bible says we shall not have any idols, it's not necessarily referring to a statue or a false religion. If anything becomes of greater value to you than doing God's will, it will constantly derail your efforts to do God's will. Even if it's pleasure, even if it's comfort, even if it's an avoidance of pain and suffering and trials, even if it's to have things right and just in the world, if that is where you find your hope, you will never have it. And if you want to find a hope that is constant, unshaking, unwavering, stable, that is not dependent upon the praise of man. Because what was Mary? She was highly favored to God. And if we care that we're valued and favored by God, who cares if the world is against us? Because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What does the song say? On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. If you want to know stability, it's found in the center of God's will. So I wonder this morning, what is your obstacle to stability? What is your obstacle to having this capacity to do God's will in your mouth and in any other facet? What is standing in the way? Because I bet if you were to reflect upon your heart, there's something there that has gotten in the way of total surrender to the will of God. For you today, what is it? Is it the lack of recognition and attention? You're not looking to be a celebrity, but you just want someone to notice that you kept their confidence and you didn't share with people the thing you asked them not to share. You want someone to notice that when they were being nasty, you were being nice, and you want them to notice that. But if that becomes more important than doing the will of God, you won't do the will of God. Does that need sacrifice today? In a moment, I'm going to ask you to come to this altar and sacrifice on this altar the need to be favored by people, to be liked by people. What is your obstacle? Is your obstacle that you have justification? You have a rough background? You have addictions? You have traumas, you have hardships, you have sickness, you have physical problems, that you can point to all of those things and say, that's why I'm angry, that's why I'm irritable, is because of that. And as long as you hold on to that crutch, you will never overflow with the joy of the Lord and have the stability and the capability of doing God's will. And today you need to sacrifice that on this altar and say, God, be it unto me according to your will. I'm not clinging to that excuse anymore. What is your obstacle? Is it fairness? I tell my children all the time, life isn't fair. And sometimes somebody else will get treatment different than yours. And if you want fairness, you won't always find it. If you want stability, then this morning I must sacrifice on this altar this need to have everything be fair. Or maybe these obstacles aren't yours. Maybe there's something else that's your obstacle. What is it that is preventing you from saying like Mary, I am your servant, be it unto me according to your will? I'm telling you, if you sacrifice all those today, there is a stability to be found that is unlike any other, that you could become like Paul and Silas in the midst of a jail, a dungeon, and be singing praises to God. You could be like Jesus, who was in the boat that was being tossed by the hurricane, and he was asleep, because no circumstance shakes rock solid faith. And don't you want to have that stability? So as they lead us, would you come sacrifice on this altar and be made stable? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you ready to say, be it unto me according to your word? If that means sickness, if that means that they, whoever they is, no longer likes you, if that means you lose financial components in your life, if that means that you experience emotional hardship and times of turmoil, if that means that he takes some things from you that are most precious to you. Because Job was able to say he gives and takes away in the midst of a great, great hardship. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And are you able to say, be it unto me according to your word? There might be challenges in that. There might be difficulties in that. You might lose a dream in that. But there is victory, and there is life, and there is stability, and there is joy, and there is this confidence that is found that cannot be shaken by any storm, because I've come to a place that I say, I am your servant. Be it unto me according to your word. Nothing else is as stable as Jesus Christ. That's why he is the rock. That's why he is the chief cornerstone upon which the whole kingdom of God is built. And so are you able to sing like that song in the potter's hand, where you just say, take me, mold me, use me, fill me, I give my life. Can you say those words? So let's sing that chorus, if you would, with me. Yes, shape us. Mold us. Mold us. Listen to this verse. Beautiful Lord, wonderful Savior, I know for sure all of my days are held in your crafted, in your hand, crafted into your perfect plan. You gently call me into your presence, guiding me by your Holy Spirit. Teach me, dear Lord, to live all of my life through your eyes. Isn't that beautiful? Don't you want to be in that place? So that's the challenge today, is to respond like Mary. Not only is it important the things we say, but it's more important what he says to us. And when he comes speaking, when he comes calling, may it be that we say, I am your servant. Be it unto me according to your word. If that means great things and blessings, so be it. If that means cursings and trials, so be it. If that means people treat me with respect and favor, awesome. If that means people hate me, that's fine too. That means, what does Paul say? Whether I'm rich or poor, well-fed or hungry, whether I'm persecuted or in joy, I am content being found in the will of Jesus Christ. And I hope that you will journey with me on this, that us as a church, that not only do we learn to do this right with our words, But we become a body of believers that surrender to God's will, and the circumstances are irrelevant. We just surrender to God. And that's, if we get in that place, that's when the believers found so many amazing things happen, is when they just said, we want what you want, God. You want that? Good, I want that. I never thought of that. I never thought I liked that, but you said I want it, and I'm going to go after that then. And they saw so many amazing things, and we have such an amazing future ahead of us if we all collectively say, what are you saying, God? You want me to do that? That's fine. It's scary. I'm nervous. I don't feel like I'm the right person for it, but you said do it, and I'll do it.